What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Everyday Parent Podcast. I'm still getting used to saying it that way rather than the Everyday Life Podcast, because we rebranded. It's our show now.
I like it. I like it better.
Everyday Parent. Everyday That's Parent. Us.
Well, not me, but you guys. No. We are, to be clear, Linda and I are at least a year away from even attempting to have a family.
So. Oh, I read that wrong or heard that wrong. I thought you said less than a year away, and
no.
I got so excited.
No, at least a year. No.
Can we make the announcement on the podcast?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good idea. We could invite her on as our guest.
That would be amazing.
Expectant parents.
That would
New
be.
New episode. It's going to drop.
We'll do it.
Next year.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait.
Coming soon.
I'll Linda doesn't even know. She's going to hear this and be like, I'm horrified. Thanks a lot. I had a plan.
Much like your spouses, my spouse also does not listen to this podcast.
Yeah, okay. Hot take. All right. We usually have a fun question. Today, it's just a hot take on does your spouse listen to you and support your endeavors?
Oh,
just kidding. No, he's so supportive. But we were all joking. We're like, hey, does your spouse listen to the podcast? And we realized, no, none of our spouses have heard an entire podcast. So no. For our viewers out there and listeners, thank you for your support.
That's right. And also in their defense, they've lived most of these stories with us.
Oh yeah, they don't need to listen to us. They listen to us every day.
That's true. But also they should listen.
They should. I feel like they should.
Because even though like Kristen's heard your stories, she hasn't heard Kelly's stories.
That is true.
Mark hasn't heard Kristen and Shane's stories.
That's so true.
That is true.
There's still things to be learned.
Shout out, babe. We do love you. We support you. Thank you so much.
But anyways, how are you guys the last couple weeks? I haven't seen you guys in a minute because I went on vacation.
Wow, way to rub it in. Thank you. Doing okay. I mean, it's the back to school season. Mm. So there is sometimes like the beauty of getting back into a routine. I do love summer though. And so there's a part of me that's like, man, we would call them fun Fridays in my house where I had like a bucket list of like the 10 Fridays all summer because I'm off on Fridays. And so we were like doing fun things, going to like the Discovery Center, the pool. So there's a part of me that's really going to miss that now that my older two kids are back in school. But there's another part of me that's like, now fun Friday is just me and my 2-year-old. So it's a new level of fun with just one kid versus three.
For me, I enjoy time with my kids. Love time with my kids. Love playing with them. Love playing games with them. But there's just a part
People
of summer.
People always start with, I love my kids.
There's a part of
that
summer.
That was a hard butt coming.
Well, but here's the thing.
But you know.
Wait a minute. There's a part of summer where, like, if they would start stuff at a decent time, I'm 100% for it. Like, if they'd look at me at 6 o'clock and go, hey, Dad, let's watch a movie or let's play a game. Yes, let's do it. They look at me at 11 o'clock at night and go, Dad, let's watch a movie. And I'm like, wait, I have to get up in the morning and work.
But are they just using you so that they don't have to put their phone away and go to bed?
No, for like during the summer, they're up.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, a lot of times we'll go to bed and they'll still be up during the summer because it's summertime and we give them a little more freedom. But like I said, when they look at me and they're like, let's start this activity when you're actually trying to go to bed. It's horrible.
So Shane, there's this thing called energy drinks. I know you don't do
coffee.
No, I do not. Listen,
it's bad
side note, I've had way too many friends or family members in the hospital because of energy drinks.
What?
That's because...
Not promote those on the show.
No, it's
Parents,
the abuse.
Parents, do not let your kids
drink energy drinks.
Do not let them.
No, there's
you also
some...
just sleep well and stay hydrated.
And to quote Jeff Borton, energy drinks are full of sadness
Red Bull
and broken
specifically.
Dreams.
Red Bull specifically is full of sadness.
Sadness and broken
and
dreams.
That is one of my favorite quotes.
I was at an event... a wake surfing event a couple weeks ago, and Red Bull was like one of the sponsors.
Were you in it? I'm sorry,
gosh,
I need to clarify.
No. No,
I was like,
watching.
Do you have a side
hobby? No, I was watching very talented people. Not on the podcast. I have some great stories from that day that I need to share with you guys.
Right.
Because the crowd there, there's just a lot of certain drinks involved. And people just started acting a certain way. It was really funny. But Red Bull was like the sponsor and walking around with the Red Bull backpacks and everything.
Yeah.
And they were just handing out all of these different drinks. And I tried three different flavors, and each one, I was just like, Jeff's just so right. This is the most accurate thing he's ever said. It doesn't matter what flavor it is. There's not a good flavor.
But sadness and broken dreams.
But shout out to Celsius and Reignstorm. Those two brands of energy drinks taste good and are effective.
Are they sponsoring us?
For clarity, we don't have any sponsors on this podcast. But if you listened, you would think that we do. Because I feel like every week, Alec is promoting a different new thing.
Are you getting side money for this?
We're not getting anything. Alec on the side has a whole side hustle of I'm not going to be surprised.
I am the one that does all the stuff on the internet
with it.
He's
the technical one.
No, we have no sponsors. So if you'd like to sponsor us, let us know. Because
we're sponsored by the Lord.
But we don't do ministry for money.
We do not sponsor energy drinks, especially for children.
Mm. Well, no, not for children. But anyways. All right. So speaking of needing energy in children, it's back to school season.
Yep.
And by the time you're listening to this, probably all of your kids have gone back to school, regardless of where you live, unless you're there are some places where they wait to go back really late. I don't know where.
Like Labor
Day.
Labor Day. Y'all start before Labor Day?
Yeah,
in Rhode
back where I grew up, we used to start.
Is that because you get out late in the summer?
Yes. It's because up there, summer months are like July and August is usually the best weather. So we would get out mid to end of June and go back early September.
Oh, wow.
So anyways, if you're not back in school, you're going to be back to school soon. And so let's talk about it. Like, what is that? As someone that has only experienced it as a kid going back to school or student going back to school, what is that process even like for parents?
Yeah, so it's a mixed bag in our household. I have three kids, two are in elementary school. My daughter is a first grader, loves school. It's like that model back to school experience. Like, oh, I can't wait. My son hates it. And so not to be super dramatic, but there's a part of us like, all right, here we go again. You know, because it's just leading to like difficult mornings and lots of complaining. And he struggles a lot. He's got some learning disabilities. And so I know that school is also just genuinely really, really hard for him. So I try to put myself in his shoes of like, man, yeah, you're like gearing up for like a really hard thing that you're going to be in consistently. But it's getting back to like a routine. And I love the opportunity to like step back and reflect on different seasons. So for us, like back to school time, we kind of like look at our calendar for the next few months, look at what rhythms we have in place. Like, hey, do we need to tweak anything? How are we spending our time? So honestly, for us, like it's a good season to just step back and like reevaluate how we're spending our time. Do we have any goals as a family? What extracurriculars are they going to be involved in? Mm. So it's just a good time to like kind of check in as a family unit and say like, hey, how is everybody doing? What are we trying to accomplish the next season ahead? And I think I use it as a time to remind my kids of like, hey, you're walking into a new classroom. Mm. You love the Lord. Like, so if your kid's a Christ follower, I kind of give my kids a reminder of like, you get to radiate the goodness and the love and the kindness of Jesus to your classmates. So like, you're going to go into class. Maybe not everybody knows who Jesus is. Like, you get to be a light. Mm. So I also use that as an opportunity to remind my kids of the opportunity they have to have a circle of impact and just share the love of Christ with people.
Shane, what's it like for y'all's family? Because y'all have kind of you're on two different ends of the parenting spectrum because Shane's old.
Oh my gosh. That's so hurtful.
By default, and that means I'm young-ish.
But in a certain sense, you guys have been quote unquote back to school for the last couple of weeks because of sports. So what is the transition into all of this like for you and your family? Typically, it's a little different now that, you know, your oldest is heading off to college, but what is the difference? What is it like for you?
That was a big change this year is with Carson going off to college. She was not part of our typical rhythm, getting everybody back to school and all that and stuff. And so it was very different. Like for us, I actually wrote about this in our parent email, but so Kristen, there was a lot on Kristen's plate this summer. And so I was in charge of kind of helping get she was like, check with the boys, make sure they like the lunchbox. Well, I didn't check with the boys. I just went to Amazon and bought two lunchboxes. Now, one of them has not come in yet, which I'm sure that's my fault somehow. But then backpacks, I looked at backpacks and I was like, all right, does your backpack have holes in it or is it broken? No. All right, then we're using last year's backpack. Now, if Carson was part of that, my daughter, that would not have gone over well. She, I've got to have a new backpack and I got to have a new this and da da da. The boys are like, all right, can we go back out and play? Can we, you know? And so that part was very easy. And then even as far as, like, I don't know that one of my boys worried about their first day of school outfit.
That is my favorite part. I'm not going to lie. As a mom, I'm like, let's pick out your back to school outfit.
Like, I might be in trouble because I did not worry about that. Mm. But like both boys were like, I'm just going to wear this. And so I was like, all right, that looks good. It matches. All right. So we're good to go.
Were Crocs included?
For Cutter, I don't think it was Crocs, but it was either Crocs or slides.
Of course.
And then Crew has a horrible pair of shoes that he loves to wear. Mm. And then pair of shoes that we just got him on Virage Sale. Shout out to Virage Sale. Can we do that?
What is that?
You don't know what Virage Sale is?
No.
Spoken
you will.
Like a true
you
non-parent.
Will. Yes. You will when you become a parent.
Mm-hmm. We'll come back around.
But we got Crew a pair of shoes on Virage Sale. They're literally brand new, and he refused to wear them. So other than that, I mean, it was good. We went and got them all registered, and they were fired up and ready to go for the first day.
Hmm. There was a lot of like paperwork and details. Like, I don't miss that. I'll be honest. Like, that is just like not my jam of like all the things. I realized yesterday because I was like, oh, hey, Jolie, you've got gym class on Friday. Make sure you wear like your sneakers. She goes, they don't fit. I was like, what? She goes, they don't fit me. I haven't worn them all summer. And I was like, oh, cool. So I'll probably go out tonight and try to find some sneakers somewhere or shove her feet into them tomorrow and be like, just wear them one more time. Mm. So there's also things like that where, yes, there's like the fun element of like getting back to school stuff.
Right.
But I'm also kind of like Shane where I'm like, if it still fits and it's working, we're not getting a new one.
Yes.
We're going to keep, like, you can have the same backpack every year.
And then I think both my boys, they were ready to get back to school as in the social aspect of it.
Right.
I don't think either of them were fired up about classes.
Yeah.
But they also, you know, and then it's the whole, you know, it's so crazy nowadays. I say nowadays because I am the old guy. But
Time out.
Nope. I'm pressing on.
He admitted it.
I'm not going to let you talk.
He admitted it.
So, but here's what's interesting is now kids get their schedule and then they text all their buddies their schedule to find out who's in what class and is this a good teacher? Is this a teacher? You know, do they give a lot of homework and all that stuff? And so all that's kind of already happened once registration happened. And so now they're there and they're now it's into the rhythm, into the schedule routine, and we're ready to roll.
Mm. So how do you set your families up well? Kelly, you kind of alluded to this, but how are you setting your families up well for getting back into the school year? Because it's similar rhythms, but each year presents different things depending on what your children decide to do or what you allow your children to do. So how do you set up well and stick to it as you go throughout the school year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge piece. The other night, Mark and I sat down with like we have like a paper calendar that's like stuck to our fridge. Mm. But then we have like a giant like acrylic whiteboard calendar thing in our like main like kitchen dining room. And that's kind of like our master command center. So like every month we can kind of see everybody's schedule and I'm so weird and it's like color coded. But I also just like took out the paper calendar and I was like, okay, it's fall. All of my kids' birthdays, including mine, are all in the fall. There's Thanksgiving. There's school. Like, so I was like, let's just look so that you don't freak out and get overwhelmed when we're in it.
Just real quick. Do your kids go to school on their birthday if it's during the week?
I would choose no.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with birthdays. And one of my dreams is that if I'm ever like the CEO of anything or like own my own like ministry or camp. Anyway, everybody will get their birthday off, their anniversary off, and then all of your children's birthdays will be built into your vacation time.
Wow.
That is my dream.
Okay.
Because I think you should celebrate people.
There you go.
Okay,
I like
anyway,
that.
Side
I'm sorry.
Note.
Go ahead.
So I don't know. My kids might not be at school. I'm sorry, teachers. but yeah, we just like kind of looked at the calendar and tried to get on the same page because there's also a couple of things that are variables for us right now. Like my D group will start this month or early September. And so I was asking him like, hey, what is your schedule going to be like? Are there certain nights of the week that are going to work best for me if I'm leading a D group at the house? So just trying to like get on the same page because, you know, we've got three kids and they're not super involved in a ton of stuff, but it's like, hey, we've got swim lessons. Like Jolie wants to get back into gymnastics, like just looking and planning so that we like to ask our kids like, hey, is there anything that you like to do? I kind of have a rule for now of like, there's like one thing per season. So like they were doing swim lessons. When that ends, my daughter wants to do gymnastics. So we're like, hey, you might do gymnastics this fall. But I'm not like ready to overcommit and be at like a bazillion things every night. So for us, we just kind of evaluate, pray through it. And I like to get their feedback though. I'm not the parent that's like, you will do this. I'm just like, hey, if you're going to do it, we're going to commit and follow through the whole season. But I like to give them opportunities to try things out. So yeah.
I think something else, and Kelly, you mentioned this when you were first talking, is to pray over your kids for school. When I was writing that parent email, it was kind of cool. I was in the middle of writing it, and I was talking about sending our kids back to school, and I got a text message from one of my life group friends, and sent a group message and said, and it was a verse out of Psalms, and said, "Hey, I'm praying this over our kids," and it was, you know, shout out Kim Plord. But it was a great reminder for me of we can have the backpacks and lunch boxes and clothes and schedules and all those things, but if we have not prayed over our kids, mm-hmm. and if we have not prayed with and for our kids and even had conversations, you know, one of the things as I was dropping the boys off on Wednesday,
Wednesday.
As I was dropping them off, we just had this conversation of, hey guys, remember who you are and whose you are. Mm. And yes, it's important to get good grades. And yes, it's great to play sports. And yes, it's great to go to college and all this stuff. But you're here to be an example for Christ. Mm. You're here because that person sitting next to you who you may not know needs to know Christ, or that teacher or whoever. And so I think it's very important that we keep that in front of them. And I think my kids are almost at the point where they go, all right, Dad, we know.
Like, we get it.
Yeah, but it's like, even when I drop them off, I pray, God, show them your love, let them know your love, and let them show your love to other people. And so just constantly reminding them of, school is not just about grades. School is not just about friends. School is not just about sports. Mm-hmm. School is about making much of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's important And it's tough because you want them to go to college. You want them to make good grades. And those things are all great and important. But at the end of the day, we live here in Hendersonville, Tennessee, and my kids go to the school they go to make much of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's important.
I would say, like, parents, if you're listening and you're like, man, what can I do to take the most advantage of the back to school season? You probably have some rhythms in place, whether you're a homeschool parent or your kids are at public or private school. So Shane, when I hear you talk about praying on the way to school, that for me is a huge win, right? Like, you know, if you are driving your kids to or from school, they're going to be in the car with you for X amount of time. Mm. Capitalize on that opportunity to invest in them. Like, time, like jamming out to the radio or whatever, that's cool, that's good. But what's best? Like, taking that time to have a spiritual conversation or to pray over your kids and with your kids. So I would say, like, look at like what rhythms you guys have in place as a family and make sure that you're prioritizing time with and for the Lord in your schedule and in your routine.
And that's huge. And parents, let me just encourage you, they're not going to always be for that.
No.
Like our drive is probably a 2-mile drive from my front door to their school. And I'm like, and they will get in the car, get on their phones. I'm like, no phones. And there's times where we just sit there awkwardly in silence. And I'm like, look, you can answer my questions or we can be silent, mm-hmm. but we're not going to be on our phones. And so playing worship music, asking them questions about who they're sitting next to and what's going on. I mean, those are so many great conversations to have, mm-hmm. along the way, but praying for them and praying with them and just reminding them what school is really about, mm-hmm. I think is important.
So Shane, you talked about phones and, you know, when it comes to, you know, coming back to school, I actually had a conversation with a parent recently, and the whole conversation was, hey, like, my kid's not necessarily asking for a phone, but with how school is now, it's so technologically driven, I feel like I need to get them a phone. And so when it comes to the tech side of school, whether it's, you know, they need a calculator, do I get the TI-84 or do I get something else? Like, how would y'all what would you tell a parent, like, as they're navigating these conversations, if they're in a school district where they're being handed iPads or handed Chromebooks even Macs in some situations? How could parents help set their kids up for success as they're being handed things or they are being given things?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think as a parent, if you have any questions or concerns, I would encourage you to ask. So like ask your educators, hey, how often will my kid be using this? What is the purpose? Is there unsupervised time on the iPad? If so, what games do they have access to? The other thing is, it's so much easier if you have already decided boundaries or expectations for your kids prior to their exposure to other people's like expectations. So like every family operates differently. And it's not like, hey, this is the right way or this is the wrong way. You as the parent know your kid and their unique needs and like their emotional maturity and responsibility level when it comes to technology. So before school starts, or like if you haven't yet, do it now, set the expectations. So I think being really clear and upfront with my kids. So for instance, my kids don't have iPad time like ever in the house. That's like a road trip only thing. But my daughter will go to friends' houses where I know that like, hey, they may have different rules. And so I have taught her, hey, you're not allowed to do iPad at anyone else's house. So if iPad comes out, you have two options. You can say, hey, I'm not allowed to do that. I can do something else with you, or I'm gonna have to go home. And that's like right. for like neighborhood friends. So I've kind of taught her that. And it's a level of trust. Like, I don't always know. Like, she could be totally playing me and going over right. to the neighbor's house and doing the iPad. But I have a level of trust with her where I think she's gonna be honest with me. And I'll ask her. And the cool thing is, like, she's done it enough now where like one or two times she's been like, hey, like she'll come home and be like, oh, I'm back. And I'm like, why aren't you at so-and-so's house? She's like, well, they were going to do iPad and I know you said I can't. So I'm like, okay, I now have this trust in you where now it shows me I can kind of like give you another level of independence because you've proven yourself trustworthy in this situation. So I think clarifying clear expectations for your kids and then giving them the opportunity to do the thing. Like you've got to also give them opportunities to exercise independence and make good decisions. And then if they don't make good decisions, that's where I think the consequences come into play.
Yeah.
And I think just along those lines, I think there's a great resource that we have here at the church called Parent Pro Tech.
Yes.
And I would highly recommend all of our parents go to this. And they're able to get a free membership. Is that right?
Right, yeah.
Through Long Hollow. But it is, I think it's one of the best resources I've seen on gaming, social media, technology, all those different things. And they are constantly working and improving. But it's not going to tell you what to do,
right.
but it informs you on, hey, here are the dangers, here are the good things, here are the bad things, here's our recommendation. And so I think, because what Kelly said is very true, different families have different rules and regulations for those things. And even in our house, like one of my kids didn't get social media till way further than one of my other kids, just because of the trust that was built up and the, like you said, they earn the right, they earn it with responsibility, they earn that right to be able to do things. And so I would say, I love what Kelly said, and then check out Parent Pro Tech, just purely because it's the more we know, the better we are to set boundaries and to set rules for our families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's if you go to longhollow.com/parent, you can pick whichever age group your kid or kids fall into. And under tech resources, you'll find the link in both English and Spanish to be able to sign up for a free account. And also while you're there, Shane, you talked about worship music and you may be sitting there going, well, I don't know where to start. You know, I want to avoid CCM because that doesn't necessarily feel like Christian music. Like I personally don't love Caleb. If you do listen to Caleb, we are not sponsored by Caleb.
Not now. We're definitely not now.
But there's
a polarizing personality sometimes, Alec. I'm just going to say it. Energy drinks, yes. Caleb, no.
Hey, okay. One is truly positive and encouraging, and the other is not.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. Anyhow, what he was going to say was we have a playlist.
We do, and it's a well-made playlist. Our family ministry, our worship team, have collaborated to build out a playlist that is of all different speeds and vibes and different things like that. So it's not extensive, but it's a great place to start. All the artists are there are trusted and are believers or are worship bands themselves. So if you need that, it's there and available for you and free to listen to on Spotify.
And I feel like we've talked about this in a prior podcast, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Playing worship music mm-hmm. in your home as you're getting ready for school, as you're getting ready to head there, it changes the tone in our house.
Yes.
I know that people have different feelings on that, but I've watched it. I've watched my kids go from yelling and fighting each other to singing along with the worship, and just because we start it before they get up. Like that's how we wake them up. We turn the speakers on and we start playing it, and then we get them up and it just changes the room.
I will second that. Like my son who hates school, when he starts to complain, I will literally be like, Alexa, like play so, like I have certain playlists. Cause I'm just like literally, cause honestly it gets so hard. Like he hates it, and sometimes he has like really rough behavior. And so we're just like praising God, like it's gonna be a good day. And part of it's like, I'm like praying like for my own like sanity and patience in that moment. But it's funny because my husband and I have like sometimes similar taste in music, but sometimes really different. And he also really loves like hardcore music. Like, and like, anyway, and I'll be like, yo, this is not the vibe we need right now in the house.
Like hardcore rock music?
Oh, yeah, like from way back when. Like, anyway, all different types of music.
A little Metallica before we go to school.
No, not that kind. I don't even know what it's called.
No, it's like Slipknot, Screamo, Death.
No, not like that. I don't even know. I'm not the right person to ask. But I'm just like, that is not the tone we need in the house right now. Like, we need something very positive and very uplifting. And some of those bands.
Kind
of
like Caleb.
No, well, I don't know. Did I just say no? I think I did. Oops. But yeah, no, music can set the tone. I think just like your attitude, your approach to things, and trying to be like grace-filled. Because here's the reality. So much of what our kids are going to do is like modeled by us as parents. Yeah, and I think that's like the hard truth that like my husband and I joke sometimes about like, well, I wonder what we've done today that's going to put our kids in therapy in 20 years. Because it's like they're just inheriting our bad behavior and patterns.
Right.
So much of it starts with us as are we modeling like true repentance? Are we actually like, when I like yell at my kids, am I stepping back later and being like, yo, I'm really sorry, like I overreacted, I didn't have patience, I'm sorry that I yelled at you today? Like, am I modeling that for them, or am I maybe like going to the Lord in that later, but then like my kids never see me apologize or own up to my own like poor behavior or lack of patience? So I think hard truth parents, we've got to model what we want to see in our kids. So
yeah, very true.
Well, I appreciate you guys. This was a fun conversation. Caleb, we love you. It's okay. before we head out, what are y'all's go-to worship, like either playlists or bands that you'll play for your family?
Well, I wonder if we should share these online. I have like a couple that I've created on my...
I feel like it'd be helpful, at least like just artists, whether it's, you know, a worship team from another church or individual artists. It's just a good starting point as well for parents to go to.
Oh, yeah. So I have this playlist. It's from like Bridgetown Worship that I love. It's like a playlist that they curated. But I also just like love like Elevation music. I love like Bethel music. I'm like going through my playlist right now.
Those are the two big ones.
I've got a good mix. Like, and even some stuff, like there's some great Christian rap out there. Mm-hmm. That's very uplifting, encouraging. I love KB. They've got some great stuff, but then I'll try to trick my kids and I'll throw in a little hymns every now and then. Mm-hmm. Shane and Shane have some great mm-hmm. hymns that they've tweaked a little bit, but it is, I love the theology of hymns.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because some of them, you know, sometimes they'll gripe about it,
right?
But then I'll hear them singing along with it, or I'll hear them singing it. And so I'm like, all right, I got you on that one.
Yeah. We also have a lot of really great playlists on the kids Spotify, like the LH Kids one. So like if you have preschoolers, or there's an album called like Jesus Kids, like there are really great preschool songs that are like super sing-songy, but it's teaching our little kids scripture.
Okay.
And my kids loved that stuff as little ones. Even like if you have like a YouTube TV channel, like you can put that stuff on, and there's really great like dance along music videos. So like, pro tip for those like moms and dads at home with toddlers, like, not telling you to like let the TV babysit your kid, but they are Christian worship songs that are teaching your children scripture, and there's like motions. And like my kids loved that stuff. So when I was like, hey, I've got to clean the house or do all this laundry, let me put on this 30-minute video
of
worship songs.
What's it called?
Like Orange Kids Music has a ton.
Okay.
There's an album called Jesus Kids that's really good. Mm-hmm. But we also have like two or three playlists on our Long Hollow Kids Spotify that you can access. And that is also available on our resources page if you go to the Long Hollow website.
Yes.
So we try to, parents, we really try to tee you up for success. So also let us know if you have questions or feedback or if there's anything we can do to better serve y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a form that you can get if you text parent to 98173 and join our conversation and give us some feedback, but then also tell us what you want to hear us talk about, because you know this is not just the three of us talking. Like, we want you to feel part of the conversation, and so please share this with someone if you feel is helpful. Subscribe to the page, that's also really helpful, because that'll notify you when new episodes drop and everything like that. So anyways, Shane, Kelly, thank you guys for being on, and we will talk to you guys next week. See ya.
Bye.